good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. At whatever time you're watching our show, welcome to Business Matters Podcast with Laura Nauman. I want to give a big shout out to CS Now Staffing, one of our sponsors. You can get a hold of them at 702-902-2448. Another one of our sponsors is Creativa Consultants, and her name is Andrea Michelle. Make sure you get a hold of her. She's the one that set us up with this beautiful studio. We're so excited. We got a new studio, kind of like, you know, a woman with a new pair of shoes, kind of like that. But today our guest is Chris. Chris, welcome to our show. Tell me a little bit about, you know, let's start with, where did you actually come from? Were you born in Las Vegas, Nevada? Are you a native?
Actually, thank you for this opportunity to educate the public. That's what we do now. Mm-hmm. But we'll go into that a little later. But yes, I was born in Texas.
Yoo-hoo! Yeah. Texas is big.
Yes. It was a small town called Huehuetlaco. And I was born there, but raised in California. And the little bit that I know of my town, it's close to the border. And I can't tell you what's close by there.
Yeah.
I know it was close to McAllen, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
My father was born in Texas and came to the U.S. And then he met my mother. And they had, she already had, my mother already had some, three girls.
Okay.
And my father raised them, my three sisters. And so I came along later. But it's always been for, I don't know, back in the day, I always say back in the day for my parents was really tough. I mean, we think it's tough now. But I think it was really tough for the Hispanics, Texans, back then. But, they've come a long ways. My parents came a long ways and they moved several states and then they ended up in California. And they did a lot of field work, and I got to experience that.
Right. What type were they doing, like cotton, lettuce?
A little bit of everything.
Wow. Okay.
They worked in the strawberries fields, the grapes, vines, and I got a little experience in that. It's very hard work.
Oh, yes, it is.
Right.
It is.
And we did the garlic. Garlic machines. We touched on also the lettuce. It was whatever season it was.
Mm-hmm.
Tomatoes, and you know, the alzadón that we used to use the hoe, which it was a short one before, and we would just go through the whole fields. I mean, you would talk miles, right?
So then you actually worked out in the
Absolutely.
Fields with them.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Weekends, our summer vacations was working. But we actually had a very good childhood. We were raised in the outskirts of Greenfield, California, and I loved it. I was more of a solo person. I didn't play too much with my sisters.
Okay,
but I learned a lot, though. I learned the Cesar Chavez.
Oh, yes,
I recall that, and I remember
the grapes.
Right, everything, and it was too bad that I wasn't old enough to understand what was going on until I got older, you know, and understood what that was about.
Right, it's just don't eat the grapes. Don't eat the grapes. We're not supposed to eat the grapes.
Well, I also recall the planes going over us, and they would be spraying the fields with, you know, chemicals.
Chemicals while you guys were working.
We didn't think nothing of it.
Right.
You know? And like I said, later on, you know, I learned, you know, what Cesar Chavez was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was dangerous for us to work out in those conditions.
Is that where you picked up your Spanish then? Because you speak Spanish.
I do. Hey, I do. I can't say I'm educated in Spanish. I didn't go to school for it.
Neither did I.
But, you know, you're raised speaking
right.
Spanish. My mom didn't speak English that well. My dad, he learned it. He picked it up pretty well. He was a foreman for this gentleman that had the fields, and he owned all these fields. So we would maintain those fields for him. Lincoln, I remember him. So... yeah, actually, my sister and I, we traveled last year just to go back where we used to live.
Oh,
it was a small house. I don't know how we even manage, but we did,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, like I said, I learned a lot doing that. I remained in California, met my husband. I was very young. I was about 18 years old, and I had my first child at 18, and we had three boys. So we stayed in California. I had family here in Las Vegas, Nevada. I had uncles, my tios, and tias. And so my uncle kept, Ruben, you need to come here. You need to come here. And we decided to move. And we moved in 1989.
So it's still very small at that time, Las Vegas area, right?
Very small, mm-hmm. yes. So when I moved to Las Vegas, I decided that I did not want to work for casinos. There's nothing wrong with it, but yeah. I just, for me, because it was a 24-hour
operation, oh yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I did not want to be away from my kids.
Right.
So I want to be available. So, you know, I did work for the Tropicana and Human Resources, and they did use... They did need me as a translator, speaking Spanish, right?
See,
so
yes.
that was always a plus.
Right.
So I also worked for Cox Communications at that time. And then I was blessed with to go work for the estate in 1998.
Nice.
Yes.
And so that's where you're at now.
And that's where I am now. Mm-hmm. I started with OSHA.
Okay.
And I, again, was able to use my skills as a translator when, unfortunately, there were some accidents or there was a fatality.
Yeah.
And a lot of the, you know, the workers are Hispanic. So I got the opportunity to go out there with the investigators and translate for them. And again, you know, that was a learning experience. So I believe I was there for about 5 years as an administrative assistant, right? And so I transferred to consumer affairs. And I think I was there about from 2004 to 2009 as an administrative assistant, three. And so I kind of just worked myself up.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned there consumer affairs. And unfortunately, in 2009... due to the economy.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, so the Governor Gibbons temporarily eliminated the Consumer Affairs Division.
Mm.
And I was sad because we helped so many people and the consumers and people that are either defrauded or maybe sometimes even the businesses that do not understand when they go into business that there's some requirements that is needed here in the state of Nevada.
It's hard to try to understand everything when you're starting
exactly.
a business.
I agree with that, yes. And so so then from there, I went to the real estate division.
Okay.
Okay, so then I learned the real estate division. Now, mind you, I was a little bitter. I was a little bitter and a little angry because, you know, I was happy at Consumer Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to make a career there. I wanted to become an investigator. So I felt like I was being pushed back. You know,
okay.
I'm like, now I got to start all over again. And you know, it just have to start from bottom up and show your skills and what mm-hmm. you can do and things like that. And so then from, they had another cutbacks at the real estate. So I went to work for, temporarily, for health and aging and disability. And so I worked there maybe a few months. And then I got, someone had a job at the workers' comp.
Okay.
So went to workers' comp. So I mean,
that's closer to the OSHA.
Right? Yeah, they're hand in hand,
yes,
you know.
Yes,
so
they are.
I worked there with workers comp. I loved it. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and then I heard that they were going to bring consumer affairs back. So I applied and I got the job as an investigator.
Praise
compliance.
God.
Yes. So looking back, you know, you think why these things happen, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, because like I said, I was bitter and angry, but, you know, that helped me in the long run because I got to know people that I'm still friends with, and I can contact certain people with the real estate, workers' comp, OSHA,
in
they know me.
Different departments, yes.
Right. So I said, okay, thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
So, he was positioning you for
this. Yes, but you know, at that time, you know, you just,
don't know.
You don't know what's going to happen.
Don't know what you don't know.
Right. Right. So so then consumer affairs was reinstated, and I was a compliance audit investigator too. And then we started growing a little bit. We had two assistants, two administrative assistants there that that I was able to oversee, and they helped. You know, we were a team, just helping each other and trying to bring consumer affairs back,
right,
and how we could help the consumers.
Mm-hmm.
It's been challenging, but it's been rewarding as well. You know, and I enjoy that. So so then we asked for more positions. The director then, you know, he would always keep in touch and say, "Hey, what do you need?" And I said, "Well, we definitely need more investigators.
Mm-hmm. So much fraud."
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So so we got a position up north in Carson City. We have a compliance audit investigator, James Dutton. And then we have another position. Well, my position, I think I need to back up a little bit. So then they also opened up a chief position to oversee the new positions that were coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was promoted to Chief Compliance Audit Investigator. Yes.
Woo-hoo.
I'm like, thank you, Lord. I thank you for that blessing.
Right.
So then my position was available. So now we have Shane Persaud, who is a compliance audit investigator here in Las Vegas. So it's just two of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So three, because we have Rick up north, and we do have a part-time assistant that helps out, and so we're slowly coming back, but I feel like it's not fast enough for me, because
mm-hmm.
back when I was working for the division, there was like 18 people.
Oh wow!
And we had a commissioner,
mm-hmm.
we had two chief investigators, and we had I think it was like seven investigators. So right now we're still small, but I'm proud that we're pretty effective,
mm-hmm.
and but it would still be helpful to have
a bigger team
because we are tasked to now register certain businesses where we used to register before. But I said we had more people back then.
Right.
Right. So it's in the statute. Our statute is NRS 598, Deceptive Trade Business Practices. And so we have to register some of these businesses, health clubs, dance studios, discount buying clubs, telemarketing.
Mm-hmm.
We're slowly doing right now. We're in phases. I thought we just can't do everything at one time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we are registering right now the health club, dance studios, and also the discount buying clubs, which includes like Sam's Club, those type of clubs that have a membership.
Okay. Is that the new law that's passing about the small businesses that we all have to now register even with our IDs and all our information? It passed in 2021, and now we have up until, I believe it's December 31st to get registered, and if not, we start getting fined. Are you familiar with that at all?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, definitely. And so if you could tell us more of what your department actually does.
Okay.
So you investigate fraud. What type of fraud? When would someone come to you?
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. So what we do is we start with when we get a complaint.
Mm-hmm.
Any type of consumers may contact us. And
for anything
because our title is consumer affairs.
Okay.
So we get a lot of consumers contacting our office. However, we may not have jurisdiction on those types of complaints. Say, for example, real estate.
Okay.
Real estate is, of course, there's a real estate division. There's mortgages,
mm-hmm.
complaints. They do come to us for that, but we do, you know, provide them with the correct resource. Sometimes, depending on the complaint, we try to help. If it's like real estate oversees timeshares, and we oversee vacation clubs.
Okay.
So go figure. Sometimes,
mm-hmm.
sometimes there's a fine line between a timeshare and vacation club.
Mm-hmm.
So we investigate. We'll take the complaint.
Okay.
Right? So unfortunately, sometimes these people that come from out of town, they're tourists, most
mm-hmm.
of them, and they get caught up on these presentations.
Right.
That they offer free, you know, free trips, mm-hmm. a free room, free dinner. And so, and that's okay, you know. But some feel like they were pressured into signing. And so we look into those kind of things. And we'll talk, of course, we give the opportunity to the business to respond and give us their take of what happened. What happened in this transaction?
Right.
Was the salesman, you know, pressuring the consumer?
They're very pressuring.
You think
yes.
so?
Yes, I think they are. It's really hard to leave.
Really?
When
Have you,
you want
encountered
to
something?
Yes.
Okay.
When you want to exit, it's very difficult because they're very good.
Right, right.
So then how do you determine if it's just right. that they were really good?
Right.
As salespeople.
I know. That's the kind
that's
of
tough.
What we get. And so, you know, this is why the education is important.
Mm-hmm.
Because as much as people say they pressure you, they won't let you leave, my take would say, get up and leave. You can't hold me hostage.
Right.
So if you feel in your heart that this sounds too good to be true, you hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It probably is.
Too good to be true.
Explain. Mm-hmm. The points, they talk about points and the point system, and some of them don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I don't even understand what the system is until you really get into it. And pressure. So I just signed, and now one of the things that you do, I would recommend people to look at is is there a rescission period? Do
right.
they provide one?
Mm-hmm.
Did they bring it up to you?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they don't. Some people say, well, I was never told that. Maybe they did, but they don't remember. You know, some people are tired. They've been out all night, maybe been a little drinking. And so they get caught up in these presentations. They're
right.
like, oh, this will be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't remember a lot. And maybe because they're not really paying attention, they just want to get out of there, and then again they just signed because they just didn't want to leave, you know, they didn't let me leave, so I just signed. So look at that rescission period, make sure that if you're going to cancel, you go, if it's 3 days, 5 days, make sure you look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And in writing, please do not, oh, I've been calling and calling, mm-hmm. I spoke to so and so, and you know they're supposed to call me back and no one calls me. That's not going to help. You need to put it in writing, send it certified, get mm-hmm. some kind of proof that they received it. And then that makes our job easier to help, you
yeah.
know, so.
Do you guys also handle, like, let's say there's an investment of some sort and something went wrong with the investment?
Investments usually fall under, and it depends what kind of investment, the Secretary of State.
Okay.
They have securities that may look into in those type of investments.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll recommend or refer them to them. If they're not able to help, we'll try and help.
Okay.
Okay. If I could share a story, I share this story quite a bit because it was devastating. This 90-year-old lady from Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was here visiting. She decided to take a walk. I think she was going to the store. And she left her room and got caught up in these makeup, you know, free facial
okay.
type of
yes.
thing.
Okay.
And so so they convinced her to buy some products. So they took her credit card from what she said. You know, they took her credit card, took it to the back, and they told her, these are the products that you'll be receiving.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the products turned out to be $18,000 worth of
products. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And she was from Hawaii. It's tough to help out-of-state people, but I will take a complaint mm-hmm. to see if we can help them. And I would also copy the state that they're in.
Okay.
Okay. It's helpful if the business is here. Of course, if the business is out of state, mm-hmm. we don't have any jurisdiction out
wow.
of state. But sometimes, I will send a letter and claim saying that, you know, we received a complaint, and I will copy the state AG's office, mm-hmm. Attorney General's office. And then sometimes it helps. It works, and they'll refund it, the
money back.
The money back.
Because they're scared.
They're scared, or, you know, okay. I may not be able to drive over there or fly out there, but you got the Attorney General's office that has your, we have a complaint on you, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're normally a legitimate business, then they're going to do the right thing. I find that. I found complaints, a dating, and they were not here in Las Vegas. So again, I said I will try and help, and I think it was she paid $8,000, and we were able to recover her refund.
For that special man.
Right.
And he never came.
No, never did, actually.
Never did, no. Hopefully. Yeah, but the good thing is she got her money back.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. So those are just examples of complaints that we do receive. like furniture, for example, we do look into those. If you look at it, if they don't have a regulatory agency overseeing a business, mm-hmm. we can more than likely investigate them. And I mentioned, you know, real estate, mortgage, financial institutions. Those are the type of complaints that we will probably refer the consumer to those.
Yeah, what about cybersecurity? What about those type of scams? Who do those get referred to?
Those are referred, for example, there's a website, right? Mm-hmm. And there's no physical address. They're doing that quite a bit.
Yeah.
You can't even find an address on the business. So mm-hmm. we do refer them to the FBI IC3. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Wow.
And we request that the consumer contact, because they can research these online mm-hmm. websites, and I think they have the ability to see where these people are.
If located. They're even in the country,
right.
or not.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah. That's one of the things that it's getting more challenging is mm-hmm. these online stores.
Oh, yes.
So,
yes.
I, for one, try to purchase everything in Nevada. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you get caught up with Amazon.
Right.
It's another mm-hmm. company. But they've been, I think they're pretty good as far as refunding the consumers. I forget there's other online stores that are out there that are pretty popular that I would, you know, probably say that, you know, who you feel more comfortable and you know that they're a legitimate company. Again, I'm picking on Amazon. Those would be the stores that I would recommend using.
Mm-hmm.
But also be careful, you know, with the refund policies. That's a big one. What are the refund policies? Sometimes they have other businesses that are affiliated with Amazon, right?
Right. So, yes, an affiliation. So
right.
it could be coming from China. It could be coming
exactly.
from a different country.
Exactly.
But it's just going through the
Amazon
links.
Right.
Yes. So I think that in our age group, and I don't know if I'm right, so you can correct me if I'm wrong, but in our age group, for me, I like the feel. I like the touch.
Right.
I'm still very old-fashioned. And for me to buy product online, I'm still sometimes very uncomfortable, or I'll actually reach out to my kids
mm-hmm.
to say, hey, I want this, but I'm not sure. And then they'll do it, and they'll
right.
order it online, and
right.
I just sell them the money.
Mm-hmm.
But I get scared.
Mm-hmm. You should. And when I have outreach events,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I could hear the audience, you know, that they're, oh, my God, you know, I didn't know, or, you know, well, now I'm scared. And I say, well, that's good.
You should be.
That means I did my job.
Okay.
Just not to be scared, but be mindful,
mm-hmm.
right? Stay informed, educate, make sure you, there's so many resources out there. There's the Federal Trade Commission.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of good information. Our website as well. We have information regarding fraud there's just so many resources out there that can help consumers. But I understand that people, you know, I don't want to sit there and read and
mm-hmm.
and look at all that. But, you know, it's better to be safe, you know?
Oh, definitely. Chris, in closing, what contact information could you give them,
okay.
right, so they can reach out to you if they feel that, you know, that they're fraud victims? And then also something in closing that you can talk to the audience and, you know, those eavesdroppers that are listening into our conversation, what advice could you give them?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I have some tips that I wrote out.
And please. Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Sure. For the consumer, because there's mm-hmm. some for the consumer and for the business, okay? So the consumer, just guard your personal information. This may seem like pretty common, or it's, you know, oh, sure, I know how to do that. But some you'd be surprised that some people don't. Like, for example, your social security number, your bank account passwords, mm-hmm. And so forth. Monitor your financial accounts. Make sure you look at them. I looked at mine, one of my credit cards. There's something in there, and I'm like, I don't remember this. So mm-hmm. I'm going to call them.
Oh, yeah.
So be sure to look at things like that. And, again, you probably heard, use strong passwords. Some mm-hmm. want to just use 4 or 5 letters, and, you know, that makes it really easy for these scammers. holidays are coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So be careful with that. With charities, call in for donations. Make sure you verify the charities. You can either call the Secretary of State, I believe, or you can call our office as well. I'll give you my phone number and also our website. Do your research and check business licenses and addresses. That is very important. If you're doing business here with someone in Las Vegas, if you're out of state as well, I recommend that you look and research their address. They'll have an address, mm-hmm. but be mindful if it's a P.O. box, a UPS P.O. box, or if it's a virtual office. I got to say, that's usually a red flag. Okay?
Okay.
Let's see. Online shopping, we talked about that. Just be mm-hmm. mindful of that. Freeze your credit if you're not using it, right? Report any suspected fraud. And for the businesses, just some tips here. Implement internal controls. You know, separate your financial duties. Educate your employees. Train your staff to recognize phishing scams. Also, fraudulent invoices. We actually got a complaint on a fraudulent invoice, and they have been paying this company.
Oh, no.
Yes. But I think the owner found where was this money going to mm-hmm. and didn't even know this business, right? Let's see. Secure sensitive data. Protect customers' business data, of course, with cybersecurity measures such as encryption and access restrictions. And then regularly, again, review your finances. Use verified payment methods. Also protect your business identity. And beware of overpayment scams. If a customer sends an overpayment and requests a refund, verify the payment clears before mm-hmm. issuing a refund, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. So this is one thing I wanted to, I know probably a lot of people have probably gotten a call from an IRS or utility. I know my mother did, and she was frantic. She got a call that her Social Security had been compromised, and I told her, Mom, hold on, stay calm. She goes, I'm coming to your house. And I had just gotten the same call from the IRS.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
yeah.
So be careful. Just hang up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to hang up on them. Okay? So with that, I hope you take that home with you, share it with your family. Contact us at 702-486-2750. Our website is consumeraffairs.nv.gov.
Awesome, Chris. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. All right. So I really do appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule.
Absolutely. Anytime we can help our community, the Nevadans, the tourists, I'm here to help.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Well, until the next time, then.